Akala sito yuta. Shichorano stayati kele susukuria tanisa. Pejijo kraste sito bradu kalaye. Jijo grota kasti se predika. Eke siso kuri tekile eki eletu afrada eletikeli. Kesus afragata. To get my glory in the earth is the purpose of salvation. To get my glory in men is the reason why he came. To get my glory to walk and to handle situations is the reason behind the resurrection. For my glory is the answer to all of men's needs. So rejoice in the glory. Learn to walk in the glory. Learn to rest in the glory. Learn to enjoy the glory. And it shall be made manifest more and more and more often. And yea, before you lift up a finger and you say a word, you will see miracles before your very eyes. For that which my glory cannot do does not exist. That which has been done, which they said was not possible, has been done already. My glory is risen. My glory lives in you. My glory rests upon you. That same glory is the glory within the church. So learn to cooperate with that glory. And many things that men call issues, you will see it as a walkover. You will see it as an opportunity to give praise to the one who lives forever. Because he lives, you enjoy victory all your days. So learn to cooperate with that glory in your gatherings. When you come together, say boldly, the glory is here. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We exalt you. Romans chapter 18. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Oh, Zakala man studiatish. Esu class to gala genebo. Pesu brother got here. Oh, Fraste Sigula Elodu Shukatia. For when you came in, you walk into a cloud. The cloud of my glory. So lay aside every anxiety and every worry. And let me do the work. Let me lift the burdens. Let me undo the yoke. Let your mind be at rest. Let it be comforted in my love. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In order for you to understand what he's saying in verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the spirit, but after the spirit, not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit that gives life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So who are those who are in the flesh? Those who are under the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They can't be found pleasing. They cannot be in the divine purpose. They can't be in line with God's way. They that are in the flesh, they can't please God. Now look at the next verse. But you are not in the flesh. Hallelujah. Notice the but. But you are not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the flesh. It means you are not in your sins. You are not in the world. You are not in iniquity. You are not in self-righteousness. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, or since the spirit of God dwells in you. Hallelujah. So it says, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And in case you don't get what he's saying, he says, and if Christ be in you, the body of sin is dead. That's what the original verse said. The body of sin is dead. It says, but the spirit within you is life because of what? Righteousness. But if the spirit of him, or since the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. What does that mean? Say, the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me today. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, well, that's not a conditional statement. That's a rhetorical question. It's a statement of fact. So it's better read that, but since the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Hallelujah. See, that spirit dwells in me. I am a son because that spirit dwells in me. So since that spirit dwells in you, what does that indwelling mean? I am found pleasing to God. I am found pleasing to the Father. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, if any man is still in his sins, if any man is still under condemnation, they that are in the flesh, they can please God. That's what it means. So if any man have not the spirit of Christ, that means if any man is not free from the yoke of condemnation, that's what he's saying. If the spirit of him that raised Christ from death, since that spirit dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead quicken or shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Look at verse 14. For as many as are what? Led by the spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a son of God. Say, the spirit of God has made me a son of God. I've been separated by that spirit. Hallelujah. So there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, or those who have the Spirit. That's what he's saying. Say, I have the Spirit. Say, I'm a son of God today. Hallelujah. Eternally the Spirit lives in me now. Eternally the Spirit lives in me now. The Spirit dwells in me now. Hallelujah. So what is he teaching? He's teaching the status of sonship. He's saying the adoption you have as a son to be placed as a son is because you have the Spirit. And that's the promise of God fulfilled. That's a summary of God's promise, that the Spirit of God will dwell inside of men. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read from verse 1. Now it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by this faith, that is by it, the elders obtain what? A good report. Through faith, that same faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, which faith is he describing? He's describing the faith of the elders. Faith in the promise to be fulfilled. Go back to chapter 10, and let's read a little bit from verse 34. Or verse 35, because he's building a case and he's speaking to the Jews, a mixed congregation, the Jews that were saved and the Jews that were yet to be saved. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has what? Great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, which is to believe, you might receive the promise. So he's not talking to the believer, he's talking to those who ought to be saved, who are yet to believe. Hallelujah. It says you have need of patience, that's consistency, and after you have done the will of God, what's the will of God? To believe in the promise. So here is actually teaching about the promise of God when it comes to the indwelling of the Spirit, which came to be by the resurrection of Jesus. So see what it says. It says you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not what? Tarry. Who is it that will come? Christ Jesus. So when he says faith is the substance of things they hope for, it was the evidence of what they didn't see. That word things there can also be translated deeds. Faith is the substance of a particular action on the part of God. It was the substance of the activity of God that they were yet to see. It was a promise. It says, he that will come and not tarry. He that will come is the Savior. That's Christ Jesus. Who will fulfill the promise and make the promise a reality. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. So he says, yet a little while, though there may seem to be a delay, he that will come will come. So when he says faith is substance of things hoped for, the thing hoped for is the coming of the Savior, who will bring to pass the promises of God. Hallelujah. Remember, we read this morning that all the promises of God in him, they are what? They are yes and amen to the glory of God. So again, see what he says. He says, now the just shall live, that's verse 38, shall live by faith. And he's quoting directly from Habakkuk chapter 2. So when he says, now the just shall live by faith, he actually says, the just shall come alive by his faith. Or those that will become justified, it shall be by the faith of that he that shall come. He that will come will come. He will not tarry. That he is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So it says, now those who will be justified, they will be justified or come alive or become new creations by his faith. But it says, if any man draw back from what? From the promise, the message that he had received from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. The promise had always been there. He says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Look at verse 39. But you are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that what? Believe to the saving of the soul. Now, hallelujah. Now their faith is the substance of things they hope for. It was the evidence of the things they did not see. For by it the elders witnessed a good report or bore witness to a good testimony. Hallelujah. So he's saying that promise was the same message that was delivered to them from the beginning, but it was given to them as a promise. The reality of it is he that will come who has now come. Glory to God. So when you're reading Hebrews 11, you're looking at what did they believe? They believe in the promise that he that will come will soon come. He will not tarry. He will fulfill what he has said. So when he says now, their faith is the substance of the deeds, the activity of God that they were looking forward to. It was the evidence of that activity which they did not see. So the only way they saw it was in the promise made. And because it was a promise, it had nothing to do with the activity. It was something only to be believed. Glory to God. It was something only to be believed. Let me show you something in Luke and Matthew. Because it was offered before there was any need on man's part. Matthew chapter 6. It was a promise. It was spoken. It's an eternal invitation that is given to man. The content of it is the activity of God, God's will, God's plan, God's purpose, what God will do, the right action of God. That's what it's about. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, are you there? I'm going to read from verse 7. Jesus is teaching our prayer. Look at what he says. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your father. Now let me ask you a question. At this time, was God a father to the nation of Israel? No. So Jesus is speaking prophetically now, for your father, the one who had plans to adopt you as sons by giving you his spirit. He says, for your father. So God's identity, listen carefully, did not change at salvation. It became real in salvation. So he was talking to Jesus for your father. Why was he using that term? The reality, the confirmation of the promise was standing in front of them and was telling them, for your father, the one who will effect that plan, for which reason I have come, knows what things you have need of. So he's actually saying your father, or God as a father, has always anticipated what your need will be before you ever thought of it. That's what he's saying. Let me say it again. He's talking to the Jews. They never knew God as father. The only ones who recognized God's fatherhood among them were the ones who received the promises and who rejoiced in the promise. It was a promise that God will be a father to sons of men. Hallelujah. Are you following? So look at the content which Jesus is teaching. He says, be not therefore like unto them, for your father. That's prophecy. He is already speaking about the reality of the event that he will accomplish by promise. For your father knoweth what things you have need of before you want. Ask him now. Pay attention now. That doesn't mean that God knows I need a bicycle before I ask him bicycle. No. The one who will father you knows what you need is sonship. The one who has predestinated you unto the adoption of Jesus Christ to himself knows that what you really need. In other words, man does not know what he really needs until he meets Christ. The one who knows that your real need is not the physical things on the outside, but the spiritual blessing of becoming a son of God. Your father knoweth what things you have need of before you want ask him. Let me say it another way. That which your father knows, you don't know, so you are not able to ask. So whatever you are asking for is far less than what your father has in mind for you. You know, that was foreshadowed in God's relationship with Abraham. Abraham said, what will you give me seeing I go childless? You've not given me a child. And God said that you are a father of nations. A father of nations. So Abraham was meant to foreshadow God's fatherhood to the body of Christ. So he says, your father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. That's not talking about, now I'm not saying you cannot apply, but that's not talking about, okay, before I pray, God already knows my desires. Of course he does. But Jesus is teaching fundamentally. Jesus is opening his mouth and explaining things that were kept secret from where? The foundation of the world. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying, God came on the scene before you came on the scene, anticipating what you would need, your real need, not your presumed need. Your father knows what things you have need of, and what you really have need of is sonship in Christ Jesus before you ask him. So how should you pray when you realize the father knows? Or what does the father know? See what, how you're supposed to pray. He's teaching them now. See what he says now. Next verse, please. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which as where in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Next verse. Thy kingdom come, which is your will be done where? In the heart. What is God's will? The promise. The promise of men having the Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, is what? None of his. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are sons of God. If you are a son, who is God to you? Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. What does it mean to be in heaven? That means that is the reality. That's the promise that has always been there in your sin realm. That God has always been speaking. Heaven here represents God. Your will be done on earth. Let the promise become manifest as it has always been in the heart of God. Hallelujah. When you're reading scriptures, think what Jesus is teaching. He's not saying, you know, there's heart, physical, and there's physical level. No. Heaven and earth there is a figurative language for God and man. Say amen. So your will be done on earth. It is already done where? In heaven. It's already God's plan. So he's telling you, God has anticipated and offered sonship before you could think of sonship. So what you have, let me show you something. Hold your hand there. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 again. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says that the communication of our faith becomes what? Effectual by the acknowledging the word. Every good thing which is where, you know, good thing in you is the will of God be done on earth. You are the earth, and heaven is now where? In you. Hallelujah. So it says that the communication of your faith. So what is left is the expression, the sharing. How do I communicate this to another? How do I share this with another? How does this affect other lives? It has to come from inside out. It says, by reason of my union with Christ, heaven has come where? Into the earth. Glory to God. Now, notice, look at Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read some verses. Just follow me. Look at verse 13. Are you there? It says, these all died in the faith. And it's talking about Enoch, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. These all, now when he says these all, the picture he wants you to see is look at the works of God in the life of those who had the promise. Abraham, being past 100 years of age, was able to give birth. Sarah judged God's faithful and she received strength to conceive when she was well past age. Abraham looked for a city. Noah built an ark. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. He says, all these ones, they died in faith. Which faith? Their faith was the substance of what they hoped for and the evidence of what they couldn't what? See. That was their faith. Their faith was in the promise. Which promise? Jesus said that your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. Can you see that now? So, now see what he says now. For look at them. Where are we now? So verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises or the promises, but having seen them where? Afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So they that say such things declare plainly that they seek what? A country. That word country means a people, a place of habitation, a different environment from their physical environment. They seek a people. So he said, they seek means it was a promise. Hallelujah. It was a promise. In verse 6, as already said, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. Which faith? faith in the substance of things they were hoping for, that was the evidence of what they couldn't what see. So everyone that got called, he will say, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, and they will believe. And Bible says that's how they pleased God, by believing in what God said he would do in the activity of God in the future. That's how they pleased God. Without faith in what God said he would do, it was impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe God will do what he says he will do. Hallelujah. And that is a rewarder of those who look forward to the manifestation of the promise. That's what he's saying. It is, these all died in the faith, not having received the promise, but they saw them afar off. Look at what he says in verse 14. He says, for they that say such things, what were they saying? There is a promise, there's a savior that is coming, there's the indwelling of the spirit, there's a country we're seeking, where all this will be in reality. See, these that say such things, they claim plain that they seek a country, and truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had what opportunity to return. But now they want desire of better, that is an heavenly wealth of God also is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has one prepared for them a city. Now jump with me now all the way to verse 32. Because of time. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Notice verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdom. Faith in what? The substance of things they hoped for, the evidence of what they couldn't see. What couldn't they see? The Savior coming, the indwelling of the Spirit, the forgiveness of sins, justification through righteousness by faith. Hallelujah. They didn't witness it, but they believed in the promise. Now, I want you to see the activity of those who believed in the promise in the future, what they did in their own present. Can we read that again? Look at verse 32 again. It says, verse 33, who through faith they did what? Subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong in a promise that was in the future. And Bible calls it faith, faith, faith. So people had faith that he that will come will come. It was yet to come, but mighty works were happening because it was coming. Are you with me this morning? Mighty things were happening because it was coming. I'm going to jump. Look at verse 39. It says, and this all, having obtained what? A good report. Through this faith. Which faith? The substance of what they were hoping for, the evidence of what they didn't see. What he's talking about? The promise. It says, through faith, they received not the promise. And God having provided what? Some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with what? So great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. It's not talking to you. It's not talking to you. It's talking to those who are yet to believe. They should lay aside every weight and the sin that's easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking the way unto who? Jesus. Hallelujah. So in that prayer in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is calling their attention to the fulfillment of the promise. Your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of. So the things you have need of are things beyond your imagination. So God's plan to make us sons was something beyond the confines of men's minds. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. So he says your prayer actually should be this, or what heaven has in mind for you is this: our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Let's go back to that scripture. It says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's go back to it. I want us to read something there. Next verse, next verse. Give us this day, one, our daily bread. What is talking about? Your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. Give us this day, or a better rendering, you give us this day. When your will is done, our what? Daily bread. You know, that's not bread. Is it your heavenly Father? Does your heavenly Father give you daily bread? Does he give you bread from Agege? Or he gives you heavenly bread? Thank you. So, you give us this day our daily bread, or our always bread, or our necessary bread, or that which is necessary for sonship, which is forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've taught this before, that's why I'm saying that. You give us this day our daily. The daily bread is forgiveness of sins. That's what it is. It is always. Say, I have forgiveness of sins always. Say, have the indwelling of spirit always. That means I have forgiveness of sins always. I have received the daily bread. Hallelujah. Say, have it daily. Say, have it daily. So there is therefore now no condemnation. That is the daily bread. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So see what this is again. It says, give us daily bread. You forgive us our debts because we forgive others also. It is not you forgive us our debts so that we can forgive. No, you are not the initiator of forgiveness. God is the initiator. Say amen. No, that rendering is wrong. It is we forgive the same way you have what? Forgiven us. Hallelujah. Who is he talking about? The new creation. This was not a reality. This was a promise. Jesus is using that prayer to explain the promise. This is chapter 6. In chapter 5, he has already told them. Look at chapter 5, verse 43. Chapter 5, verse 43. See what it says. Jesus is teaching. So this is a continuous teaching from chapter 5 to chapter 6. He just continues. Chapter 5, verse 43. You've heard that he has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Next verse. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that what? Hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Look at verse 45. That you may be the what? Children of your father, which is where? Were they children of God at that time? Was there sonship available at that time? So it was a prophecy. That you may be. That you may be. So this is what will happen when you receive forgiveness from sins. You are able to forgive what? Others also. Or the promise is now a reality. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the promise is now a reality. So when we speak today, go back to Acts chapter 13 now. Look at the excitement in the heart of Paul as he preached the message that day. Acts chapter 13. And verse 32. Hallelujah. Are you there? And we declare unto you what? Glad tidings. How that the promise which was made, a promise which was made, an obligation that was given, a personal pledge that was announced to the fathers, God has what? Fulfilled the same unto us, their children. Can you see that? In that he has what? Raised up Jesus again. Glory to God. Say, the promise is now my reality. Say, the promise is now my reality. Say, I have the indwelling of the Spirit. Say, the Father's plan has come to pass. Say, the Word of God has worked. Hallelujah. The Word of God has worked. So, you see, the language now becomes different. The tenses are different. The actions are also different. There are similarities. But there's a difference in that which you are looking forward to and that which you have now received. What you have received, you can act upon. That which you are looking forward to, you can only wait for it. So we have left the waiting zone. We're in the acting zone now. By the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have instructions that we looked at last week. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 now. Just like we're exalted again this morning. Ephesians 5. Verse 17. And this is what I like the most about this particular passage of scripture. It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but what? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. You don't take that out of the setting. You stay with the passage to see what it's saying. What is the will of God? It's about to tell you. It says, I mean, don't be drunk with wine. Say, it's not the will of God that I should be drunk with wine. Because wine is cheap. Say it like that. Say, it's not the will of God I should be drunk with wine because wine is too cheap. I take other substance. Wine is too cheap. Wine is inferior. I take hard substance. I take spirit. Do you understand? Say half spirit. If some of you are still saying, pastor, hard substance. Say I take hard substance. Listen. The drug I take came out of the resurrection of Jesus. Do you understand? The drug that is given to me came from a whirlpool of victory. It's the glory of God living inside of a man. There is nothing that can make you tipsy or shock you more than the glory of God. The Bible says Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, and he's talking about the Spirit. And if that same spirit that raised Christ dwells in you, if that same spirit that raised Christ dwells in you, that which he accomplished in raising Christ, it will accomplish also in you. That's what they're saying. Hallelujah. So Paul is saying, now that it has been accomplished, now that that spirit lives in you, don't be drunk with wine. He says, rather be filled with the Spirit, or keep being filled with the Spirit. And when he says be filled, he's not talking about having the Spirit. You already have the Spirit. He's talking to those who have the Spirit. He's talking about coming under the influence of the Spirit. It means it's something we can hear, we can see, if you're under the influence. So when I ask, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? No, you are not. No, you are not. No, you are not. Do you know there was no place in the scriptures where they asked them if they were filled? They saw it. Everybody saw it. In Acts chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, the Bible says, and the Spirit fell. While Peter yet spoke. How did they know? They didn't see Spirit falling. They saw the activity of the Spirit in men. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2, these men are full of new wine. They saw the activity of the Spirit. So if the template for understanding the activity of the Spirit is Acts chapter 2, for instance, the first time the people who were not filled saw those who were filled and said, these men are filled with new wine. That means it can make you tipsy. It can make you do what your conservativeness would normally not allow. Because the indwelling of the Spirit is a promise of God fulfilled. You see, in the indwelling, God is shouting. I pray you will hear him. God is shouting. In that indwelling, God is laughing. In that indwelling, God is dancing. It's like God saying, we did it. We did it. We accomplished it. The prophecies have come to pass now. The glory of God is now living inside of men. Heaven and earth has come together. Hallelujah. So don't be drunk with wine. So you know they see you like an ordinary person and you look ordinary. There's no difference in your appearance and that of an unbeliever, but there's a difference on the inside. Because if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Hallelujah. But you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. So right now, because you are in Spirit and the Spirit of God is in you, the activity of the Spirit is in you right now. Glory to God. So he now says, let the activity be seen. Be not drunk with wine. Glory to God. Yeah, that brother got it. Yeah, he got it. He got it. He got it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I tell myself, somebody that had a promise and was prophesying with the level of knowledge he had about the future, Isaiah said, in that day, thou shalt say, and it wasn't the deal. In that day, you will say, I refuse to call Isaiah a liar because I'm not in the day. I'm in that day now. And I say, my sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. I have been liberated from every condemnation. In the name of Jesus, I stand victorious. No accusation can stand against me. In that day, you will say, you will have a voice. In that day, you will have a voice. I love that song. What is done cannot be undone. It's too late. He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. What he has done in me cannot be undone. I have shouting grounds now. 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 Glory to God. Somebody says, what does it mean to be drunk? See, you don't understand. The world has their way. They have their way of handling their situation. People tell you, you know, the problems of this country are so terrible that you just fall into depression. You tell them, no, I have joy. Glory, 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 glory. I have joy in the Holy Ghost. Woo! Somebody says, Pastor, you don't understand the challenge I'm facing, but I know what the word of God says. It's not by power, it's not by might, but by my Spirit. It's by my Spirit. It's by my Spirit. Glory to God.
Bible says when we look to the Old Testament saints and we look at the faithfulness of God, it says we receive comfort. But they are looking to us for the reality. Do you understand? If God was faithful in a promise, I don't know if you're getting this morning. The way deity looked at what was about to happen in John's Gospel chapter 16, Jesus looked at disciples. Because I've told you this thing, sorrow has filled your heart. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Hey, I will see you again. Hey, I will see you again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sir, you are into contracts. You know, in Nigerian language, say that, have you seen a guy? I will see you. Sir, I will see you. You understand? We will make contact. There will be a deposit. You understand? I will see you. He has seen me. I have seen him. He has seen me. I have seen him. The deposit has been made. Hallelujah. The spirit is the deposit within me. Hallelujah. I'm bold. I speak of the reality, not just a promise. The promise is fulfilled. I'm the shouting ground of the promises of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when you look at those saints, why do we have a record? Okay, he had a promise. It was 100 years and he brought forth a child. It was a promise. Then you see David, how he was delivered, not once, not twice, and he had a promise. But you have the reality. The Bible says, but as God is true, that is, as God has proved himself faithful, our word towards you was not yes and no. No, there was no uncertainty about the promise. No. But we declare to you, the Son of God that was preached among you by me, Stephanus and Timotheus, in him was yea. For all the promise of God, they are in him, yes and amen, to the glory of God by us. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes we sit down and we're thinking, people have been depressed and we're just thinking, yes, amen, yes, amen, yes, amen, yes, amen, yes, amen. And I jump up and go farther around this way. Yes and amen. Put up Isaiah 12. Put up Isaiah 12. A promise. Because I can see Isaiah in the corridors of heaven and he's laughing. The prophecy has come to pass. The saints are blessed. The promise fulfilled. Isaiah 12 and from verse 1. In that day thou shalt say, you can replace it. In that day you will shout. In that day you will laugh. In that day you will dance. There was anger against me, but somebody came and turned the anger away. Look at the next verse, verse 2. So say, behold now, the one who turned the anger is God, is my salvation. So I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, stop. That word, if you go to the Hebrew, is actually the name Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus. So he says, behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. For Jesus is my strength and my song, and he has become my what? Salvation. So you find yourself standing beside Isaiah. Isaiah, what are you saying? Ah, what I can see. What I can see. What I can see here. What I can see. That Jesus, he said, you know Jesus. Say, I know him. How? By revelation. Say, what about you? I know him as my reality. Hey! He is my reality. He is my reality. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is my reality. He has become my what? Salvation. Listen, it's too late for your prayers not to be answered. They are already answered. Your father knoweth what things you have need of, and he gave you spirit to assure you your prayers are what? Answered. I have audience with him at all times.
I am never without his presence. I always have his presence. I live in his presence. He lives in me. I carry his presence everywhere. I am my father's son. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. So Isaiah, look into the future. The future is your reality, is your presence. Why do we go back look at Isaiah? So we can understand the intricate details of what he was dealing with as a promise. This was a promise. He saw Jesus in the future. The substance of what he offered. The evidence of what he couldn't see. Hallelujah. He says, if it is true that God, when he becomes my salvation, all I have to do is trust, I will never be afraid again. For the Lord Jehovah, Jesus is my strength and my word song. Because he has become one. My salvation, verse 3. Therefore, therefore, with joy. Hallelujah. Shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation? Hallelujah. So he's speaking about what is common to everyone. I have Jehovah as his salvation. You don't understand. It's not that I have salvation. I have Jehovah as my salvation. My salvation is a person. He ever lives. So he saves to the uttermost. It's not just a substance. It is a person. My salvation is alive. My confession is alive. My victory is alive. My boss is alive. My confidence is alive. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, I make the withdrawals. I just make withdrawals and I make it at will. Glory to God. With joy, you withdraw. You withdraw. You withdraw. You withdraw out of the wells of all that salvation can afford. With joy. Glory to God. That's why when you see a sorrowful looking Christian, just know he lacks knowledge. Pray for him. I pray that the communication of your faith, because you ain't communicating anything here at all. You ain't communicating anything with everything inside of you. A frown. When those who had it as a promise were laughing, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and he was glad. How can you that you are the fulfillment of the promise, how can you be sorrowful when Abraham is rejoicing? He looked for a city. You are the city. You are the city. There is only one problem you are allowed to have. Sit down 1 minute. There is only one problem you are allowed to have. Somebody say, what's the problem? Spontaneous outburst of rejoicing. When they say that, is he okay? I'm not okay. I am too okay. That's the problem. You know, you are sitting down in a bus. Wherever you are seated, you say, glory to God. You say, what's going on here? Hallelujah. Inside the bus, if you can bring out a cigarette and smoke in public and drink in public, I have a right to rejoice in public. I have a right to rejoice in public. I have a right to rejoice in public. Oh yeah. Oh, I am God's investment. So we say, are you normal? I say, that's the problem. You are the one who is not normal. If you know what I know, if you see what I see, you will shout the way I shout. You will dance the way I dance. You will run the way I run. Oh yeah. Even if you know, abnormal people are trying to tell you what normalcy is. Normalcy is the resurrection of Jesus. That's a victory that can never fail. Glory to God. So what should be normal to you is spontaneous outburst of rejoicing. A negative thought comes, you just receive news. You know, sometimes a news on your phone, a text message can spoil your day if you allow it. But the Bible says, hey,
In that day, with joy, shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Psalm 118 verse 24. It says, this is the day. So whether it's a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday, when the text message comes, remind yourself, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. 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 Hey, rejoice. Hey. Then your eyes begin to see things. When they tell you, sir, what you are asking for is impossible, you say, no. What was thought impossible was Jesus rising from the dead and is risen. All things are now possible. All things are now possible. The glory of God lives in me now. All things are now possible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now see that I mean again. I'll tell you why Pastor C started the service the way he did. And Pastor C before followed along. You see, we're coming to some very dangerous days. Where that which you know about the wells of salvation will avail you of victory, not occasionally. Because you see, ignorance of those truths has locked many again away into thinking their God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, only protects occasionally. He saves some. He allows others to pass on. But our Father is faithful and consistent. He never fails. He said, no evil will befall thee. Neither will any plague come near your dwelling place. 1,000 shall fall by your side. 10,000 by the right, but it will not come near thee. Only with your eyes shall you see and behold. That's what he said. Hallelujah. You shall not be afraid. He says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He didn't say maybe. He said surely. So the revelation of these truths keeps you in a cocoon of supernatural protection. All the time. Spontaneous outburst of joy. You notice there is an increase in the spate of mental illnesses. The onslaught of the enemy to confuse men and to destroy lives. But there is sanity in Christ, which is the believer's rejoicing. So you've got to take hold of all he has done. For he has anticipated and preempted the enemy by giving you all that you need. So when weakness comes, take the only tonic, the tonic of rejoicing. Take a little, and when you are down and low, take more. Take more until you are drunk, until your eyes and your ears are full of rejoicing. Until only the praise of the risen one comes and is an anthem upon your lips. Until only songs of what he has done surrounds your environment. That's what you are meant to do. Because this is how the Father's plan is, to preserve you from all evil. So understand that the days ahead, the news will not necessarily get better, but there's good news in your heart already. Let that good news prevail. Let it be the currency for everyday transaction. As you go about your affairs, transact with the currency of joy. Notice the favor of the Father. For every time you use that currency, it is acceptable in every country. There is no border and no boundary that can stop this currency. For it's a heavenly currency and it is over and above all. So as you transact, remember, you are saying with all certainty that he's risen, he's risen, he's risen. For every time you shout, it's because he's risen. When you laugh, it's because he's risen. When you sing, it's because he's alive forevermore. You are that eternal witness, and all the angels will bear you witness that is risen. For through your laughter they will go about in protection. Through your laughter they will go about and cause wealth and abundance to come. Through your laughter, even when men are rejected, favor will stand up for you. I speak to you by the Spirit of God. Transactions by the heavenly currency of rejoicing taking place in the days ahead. So stir up yourself. Set up yourself. Be among the victorious ones in experience. He has done all things well. He has made you victorious by his mighty power. He has ensured that by that salvation, he has put his glory within you. Now let that glory become that supernatural shield that carries you every single day in a perpetual experience of victory. Let it be like a cascading waterfall that affects everyone that comes under the shelter of your experience. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. I heard the Spirit of God say, let it be. Let it be, and do not let the song cease. Let the melody rise to a higher octave. Let visions of the days ahead and the decisions you make before you get to the point, let it be clear in your mind. For you, fear has been banished. For you, defeat is no more. For you, failure is a no-no. Stand in what he has done. Refuse no for an answer. Yeah, and I hear, even today, even now, refuse that no. You're already gradually accepting. Refuse now. Refuse that no now. Refuse that thought that the enemy wants to use to steal that which you have believed for. Say yes is what he has said. Yes is all that we have. Yes is all I will have. I will have nothing but the holy yes. I will stay with nothing but the holy yes. So refuse every appearance of a denier. For the Father will never say no to you. For the scripture has been fulfilled. The Lord God is a sun, is a shield. He has given grace and glory. No good thing as it will tell from those who walk uprightly. He is my sun, he is my shield. I am that one that walks uprightly in his salvation. I will be upright in my activity. I will rejoice all the day. I will rejoice all the day. And when I'm done rejoicing, I will rejoice more. And shout more. And sing more. And praise more. I will keep the channel of the flow going at all times. I can't be stuck. I can't be stranded. For there's a supernatural supply that the Father has made. Dijo, Jikra, Estesu, Zakati, and Anka. Surgeries are being performed right now on the bodies of men and women. Impotence, listen carefully, inability to give birth or to conceive that was there before is removed now. Is removed now. Impotence, inability to be productive is removed now. Impotence, inability to make progress is removed now. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Glory to God. Where your legs have stumbled, now they become firm. They become strong. Whoa, your fear in your heart is, how will I survive? How will I make it? For at the rate at which I'm going, no, not the rate at which you are going, the rate at which he is doing. Focus on what he is doing, and it will be your going forth and your coming in. Yeah, his grace will swallow up every limitation where the work of your hand is concerned. And it will bring increase your way and cause you to flourish even when others in the world are going through lack. So don't say the way I'm going. No, look at what he's doing. Focus on what he's doing. Let his doing overtake your going. And that doing will reposition you. That doing will bring about supernatural success where there was once failure. Let that be your confession now. Let it be your bold confidence in this hour. Say, I know no dry season. Say, I know no dry season. There is no drought in my experience. I'm that tree planted by the rivers of water. My fruit is every season. My fruit is every season. Whatever I do, I prosper. For the glory of God has risen upon me, and I prosper in all my activities. The days of not succeeding are gone. I prosper now, and I prosper abundantly, and I make supernatural progress. This is my experience every single day. Glory to God. I thought somebody would shout if you don't know. I got the life of God in me. I got the life of God in me. I got the spirit of the Son of God. I've got the life of God in me. I got the life of God in me. I got the life of God in me. I got the spirit of the Son of God. I got the life of God in me. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? Listen, write your own check this morning. 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 Reach out and lay hold on the glory of God. Reach out and lay hold. Call for supplies. Call for help. Call for assistance. Call for favor. I mean right now. Do that right now by faith. Just receive right now. I see somebody that desperately needs a transfer. The transfer is yours. The transfer is yours to a better position, to a better work, to a better situation. The transfer is yours. Yeah, you have been overlooked before now. Overlooked. But you are no longer overlooked. You are no longer overlooked. Now the spotlight has come upon you now. The spotlight has come upon you. Heaven's spotlight is upon you now. And what you have desired for so long now comes your way. No longer will your fire be pushed aside. You are no longer overlooked, but you are highly favored. You are highly favored. You are highly favored. Glory to God. There is no limit to what we can experience in the glory of God. His faithfulness is forevermore. Hallelujah. His faithfulness is forevermore. There is no other God who lives and never ever dies. There is no
other God who lives and never ever dies. There is no other God that I know. There is no other God who lives and never ever dies.
Glory to God. I see someone. It's a condition. Has to do with the waist, somewhere around the waist area. Damn. Where's the person? This discomfort, pain in this section. Okay, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Any other person? That's an okay. There are one or two or three people. Okay, thank you, Lord Jesus. This one is a strange one, but I will say it. Your greatest concern right now is giving back to a child. But I just saw you breastfeeding one now. Yeah. I saw you now breastfeeding a child. It's no longer a concern. It's your reality now. It's no longer a concern. Who else? Okay, you also? Any other person? It's from the lower waist down, as in like almost like the middle of the back of the way down, from here down. Any other person? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It's okay. Can we stretch your hands towards them? That same glory. Thank you. There's a woman's womb that's been adjusted. I say woman's womb that's been adjusted. Irregular monthly flow is now regulated. Is that irregular monthly flow is now regulated right now? In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Kebedega supra hananga, ebedu brahash kebedigo supra handa. Oh malahaki kiku kukubahata. You know, you carry in you a good God. He's a good God. And we say that we have the indwelling of His Spirit, which is the indwelling of Him. So we have the good God that we carry around. So, you know, when you go around, express the good God. How do we express the good God? When there is sickness, we heal the sickness. When there is a man who doesn't know his right from wrong, we give him clarity. When there is someone who is, you know, an unbeliever, we preach the gospel to him. Remembering that the good God is in us. And he always wants to do good. We carry the good God around. The good God, we carry him around. So we are the carriers of that God, the good God. I'm purposely saying the good God, because you know he is actually a good God. He is good. He's so good that, and you know, we are the carriers of that good God. We are the carriers of this atmosphere. That's what I'm actually saying. You know, we're having a wonderful time together as saints, as believers. And we, this same set of people that we have gathered together here, we go out there. We meet people that, you know, sometimes they don't have a clue as to this Father. And you carry him around. So let him be seen. Let people see the good God in your words, in your actions, in your reactions, in your inactions, in the things you do, in the things you don't do, in the things you don't do. You know, some people might want to, you know, shout and get angry over matters, over little matters, but you don't do that. You remember that you have the good God. Hallelujah. That Father, you know, that is good to the evil and to the unkind. You carry him. You carry the good God. I carry the good God. Let's say that together. I carry the good God inside of me. I carry the Heavenly Father inside of me. I carry the Heavenly Father inside of me. And I am his expression. I am his expression. You know, it doesn't have to be hidden when you are there. When you are there, the Father doesn't have to be hidden. If you are not there, fine. But once you get there, people must see the good God. You know, there should be something inside of you that just want to show him. That just want to show him. That just want to show him. What are you talking about? I have the good God. I have the Father inside of me. And this is the way he is. You just let them see the way he is. This is the way he is. This is the way he is. This is the way the good God is. Let people see that. Let people see the good God. If you don't show him, who will? If you don't show him, who will? Who will show him? Who, if you don't? So you will, hallelujah. You will, right? You will. I will. I will. Say, I am in the spirit. I am not in the flesh. I am alive unto God. I am alive unto God. I am alive unto God. There's just something that does to me. I'm alive unto God. You know, where God is concerned, you are clear where spiritual things are concerned. You are clear. When you get to the scene, you just know what the Father wants to do. You are the one that will know it. You are the carrier of the Father. You carry the good God, and let the ambience of his goodness be seen in your daily living. Let it be seen in your daily living, in your conduct. I'm talking about even in your conduct, not just in doing miracles, in your conduct. Let people say, that person is not behaving like us. What is it about her? I have the good Father inside of me. He has changed my conduct. He has changed my life. He has changed my desires. He has changed the things that mean, you know, that means so much to me. So there are stuff that means so much to me that might not mean so much to you. Hallelujah. I carry the good God. Hallelujah.
There is glory, mighty walking God, and walking me. somebody has been having a persistent migraine headache. It's gone now. It's gone now. So that it's gone already. It's gone. It's one of the reasons why we sang that song was because like Brother Stephen came to tell me, which was just a confirmation that some of us, we're having this burning sensation. You know, let me see your hand. Your hands are burning. You can feel this burning sensation all over. Let me see. Some of you, your legs are trembling. Let me see. You just raise your hands wherever you are. You can feel that burning. Gifts have been activated, actually. Gifts have been activated afresh. Afresh. Gifts have been activated afresh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 We give you praise this morning. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Hallelujah. We worship. Hallelujah. Let's have our seats. Good things are just beginning. So much good. So much good. So much good. I saw us pray for her. So I want the ushers to please help me escort her outside. Let me get her chair out here. We're going to pray for her. I just saw that now by the Spirit. So we just do that. Someone just said, how do we pray for her? Just pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. Let us sit down here. Supernatural victorious outcome. The power. Let us know. Let us sit facing here. Just stretch one as well and pray in the name of Jesus. Supernaturally, victoriously, miraculously, the finger of God, 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 the finger of God. The plan and purpose of God is done. It's done. It's done. The will of God is done. Nothing hinders it. Nothing stops it. Nothing. Nothing stops it. Nothing stands in the way of the will of God, of the plan of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your glory, for your power that's at work in our, through our. Thank you for your will that finds full expression. Thank you for your power, your glory that overshadows our. Nothing stops your plan. Nothing hinders your work. Your work is perfect. That which you have blessed her with, she sees to fullness, to completion. Nothing stands in the way. No complications of any kind. In the name of Jesus, a full testimony. We receive a full testimony. Nothing missing, nothing broken. By the power of God, we receive a full testimony. In the name of Jesus. 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 We surround you with the power of God. And the hand of God is upon you right now. In an answer, Brody, Vediala, Gaka, Sheko, Brosta, Frosta, Guest, Yes, Sugratula, Egangi, Giko, She, Christ, Sugraste, Against, Yes, Agata, Aka, Ki, Esusopo, the workings of that power supernaturally quickens you, steadies you, strengthens you, removes all anomalies, and the glory of God is seen in fullness, is seen in fullness. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, because it's done. Thank you, because it's done. We give you praise. It's done. It's done. It's done. Let's give him thanks. It's done. It's done. We give you praise, Father. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're not supposed to start believers' meetings now. But apparently there are some people in this assembly who know how to plan calls. And believers' meetings for next month, even though this appears to be a bit more than a believers' meeting, Holy Ghost meeting more like. But we had an experience on Thursday that's a bit difficult to explain, and we just stepped over and we just kept hearing, we are the new, we are the new, we are the new. And so some things are going to unfold in the coming months, which we will begin to share with us as God opens our eyes to see those things more and more and more. But I would like you to get, was it recorded? Okay, so that's not a good question. Because if they say no, the way they will go after Uncle Jite, So if it's not recorded, so just get the meeting, get the, just listen to what happened in the meeting, because I can't tell you the message, because I couldn't teach. The glory of God was just so strong, and it was more of prophets and other things. And there's some other things you won't hear on the tape that happened in the meeting. That, and after the meeting, after we said good night, the night was good. But some people refused to go home. So it was quite a meeting now. But I think the words that we will hear in the meeting will give us an idea of what we should look forward to and what we're believing God for. Amen.